This morning's public read comes from 1 Samuel chapter 20. As you turn there, if you've been following along with us, it's quite evident that King Saul doesn't have the best of intentions on the life of young David. And David and Jonathan have been talking about what seems to be King Saul's desire to kill David. And Jonathan finally feels the almost nearly gets the point in his father's design to kill David when David doesn't show up for at least a couple of days at the king's table. And then Jonathan gives the story. Well, David wanted permission to go back home. They're going to have a feast. The older brother kind of put the pressure on him. And so that's where David's at. And Saul kind of reads between the lines and kind of understands that there's something going on between his son and David. And Saul takes a javelin and throws it at his son Jonathan, who barely escapes the point of the matter, if you will, and realizes that his father's intentions are not wholesome at all. And so with that in mind, look at verses 35. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a lad with him. And he said unto the lad, Run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad came to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, Is not the arrow beyond thee, which is forcing this young boy, this gopher, if you will, to go further away from Jonathan, but apparently close enough for David to see the signal that Jonathan is showing him or sending him. Jonathan cried after the lad, Make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto the lad and said unto him, Go, carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David rose out of a place towards the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept with one another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen. Well, beloved, I think Jonathan and David finally got the answer that both of them wanted to know. It's quite evident that King Saul has very evil designs and very evil intentions. He wants to eradicate David. And I believe the reasons are as follows. First off, it's quite evident in all of our reading that we've done between King Saul and David. When David comes into King Saul's presence and King Saul appoints him to be part of his army. And when King Saul sends David out to do great exploits, and David does those exploits, when David comes back, the local people, especially the women, bring forth a lot of praise, a lot of accolades on behalf of David. They give some to King Saul, but David gets the greater praise, if you will, because his numbers are so high. Now, maybe those numbers could have been exaggerated by the people. You know how people can exaggerate the facts. But nonetheless, King Saul gets very jealous, very envious of David. He sees him as a threat. Now, what threat could David be to King Saul? Only one thing: King Saul's kingdom, which would include his throne and his crown. And in our past readings, King Saul, I believe in last week's reading, he reminds Jonathan that if David succeeds, my dear son, you will lose the kingdom. You and your descendants. So King Saul here is not simply looking short term. I kind of get the feel that King Saul was looking long term. Jonathan would follow. And if Jonathan had any children, especially sons, they in turn would follow. So what is King Saul looking at? The D word, dynasty. A dynasty. So Saul had some big plans. He saw a big future in store for his family line. So that was what he was guarding so tenaciously. He was willing to kill an innocent man. So let's look at our story. The next morning, I would imagine, in context, following the incident with the javelin throwing and Jonathan escaping the point of the matter, in the morning, Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David. And he has a lad, this nameless young man, goes out with Jonathan. So David apparently spent the night out there in the field. Or maybe he slept somewhere, got up much earlier, went out to the appointed place. And he said unto the lad, Jonathan in verse 36, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. So Jonathan apparently was going to do a little bow practicing, arrow and bow practicing. And this poor soul, this poor gopher kid, was going to go out there and round up all the arrows that Jonathan is shooting. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. So he's shooting beyond. As the boy's running, these arrows are falling beyond the boy. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? So as the boy is coming across some of these arrows, Jonathan says, whoa, hey, there's more beyond thee. Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed. Make haste. Stay not. So this poor boy is running all over the place, picking up these arrows that are on the ground. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. So when these arrows were being shot beyond the boy, that was a signal to David that you need to be just like the arrow. You need to be far away from my father. But the lad knew not anything, only that Jonathan and David, they knew the matter. They had conspired together. And I believe King Saul throws that javelin at his son, knowing that there's something between you and David. You got something going on. You're both talking. And I'm the subject matter. Now stop and think. If King Saul killed Jonathan, what about that dynasty? So Jonathan gave his artillery unto the lad, gave him all the bows and all the arrows, and he told him to go back home or go back to the city. Now, while the boy is gone, 41 to 42 occurs. As soon as the lad was gone, David rose out of his place towards the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed himself three times. Beloved, that's what you do when you worship someone. That's the concept of worship, bowing down, bowing oneself to the ground. So notice the honor and the respect that David is showing Jonathan, who's not going to be the next king of Israel because he's going to die eventually with his father on the battlefield, and David will then become king. And they kissed one another and wept with one another. But apparently David's crying exceeded Jonathan's. And then verse 42. Notice the bond between these two young men. Jonathan said to David, go in peace. Now, if Jonathan really wanted to get a few brownie points with his father, this would have been the opportune time for Jonathan to have killed David, brought David's head to his daddy, right? That would have put him in great favor with his daddy. But he didn't. Could have had the opportunity. Could have taken advantage of David's broken heart. All right? Go in peace. For as much as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord. Now notice, they didn't sign a verbal, they didn't sign a written contract, did they? They didn't put their name on a dotted line. Beloved, there was a time, not too long ago, that in the West, if you shook hands with somebody over some deal or some work or some contract, that was enough. That was enough to seal that contract, a simple shaking of the hand, because each individual knew the other person's word was their bond. Not today. Notice, they made a bond between each other. We have sworn in the name of the Lord that neither one of us would do any harm to each other, nor to our descendants. The Lord be between me and thee, between my seed and thy seed forever. How does this become fulfilled in the life of David? Down the road, when David becomes king, he's going to ask a question. Is there any survivor of Jonathan's lineage? And they're going to find a young man named Mephibosheth, who is lame, who's not able to walk. One of these descendants of Saul to Jonathan to Mephibosheth. And David is going to remember this oath, this bond, this contract, this handshake that they made, if you will. Right now on this field, David, when he becomes king, is going to bring this crippled boy, a descendant of Jonathan and Saul, into his home, lavish him, and bring him to his table for food and sustenance and drink, to show you that David's word was his bond. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went in unto the city. So here we find Jonathan and David's bond. And may the Lord bless his word. Amen.